Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark. 3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
Oh, I'll have a Slingsby rhubarb.
Cheers. Offer to Mova.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Rob.
Evening. How are you all doing? All right.
All right, good. Good.
Yeah. Tell you what, it's a bit quiet on a Monday night, isn't it?
Oh, it's very different, isn't it?
It used to be in here on a Monday night.
I know. Well, with that, welcome everyone to our first The Chatting special. We thought, obviously, we couldn't let a general election go by without having an episode on it. But we also know politics isn't everybody's thing. So we thought we'd put it out there as a special instead. So you've still got your episode on Friday. Don't worry, don't panic. But we thought we'd throw this in there.
Giving you even more value.
Giving you even more value.
Yes. But rest assured, indeed, Laura Koonsberg's not here.
Yeah.
Or Robert Peston. It's not like that. It's us giving us two penneth.
I don't even know they
and
are.
And Rob with it. What's that?
I don't even know they are.
Oh, my goodness.
I need to say, just
they're
on
not
the
MPs,
outset,
by the way.
From
no,
the
they're
outset,
not MPs.
Right. I know very little about politics. In fact, I am that person that knows nothing about politics. The general election starts and I become a politician.
Yeah, you've got plenty
like,
to say.
A bit like all of Facebook, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, it's all right. Listen, this is what we're here for tonight. We're just going to have a good chat about politics. You know I'm kind of into politics.
It's going to be like a school day.
Yeah, you're going to learn a lot, Rob.
So ask away, Rob. Ask away. That's what we're here to do. I do
What microphones are they using down in street?
Yeah. I do feel as though we should say that at the start, though, we're not affiliated with any political parties. We're
not. Definitely not.
Not the Raving Loony Party.
No, we're not. We're not getting paid by any political parties or anything like that. Everything that we say is our own opinions.
Yeah.
Although I tend to think that I'm right about everything, so so are we all voted on Thursday? Are we all
of course,
definitely,
yes. So Rob, you say that obviously you don't know much about politics, but I do know that you get involved and you vote, which is the right thing to do, but what drives that then? If you don't really know much about politics and the details behind politics, what drives you to who you're going to vote for?
When I vote, for me, I'm not one of them type of people, and I know that it's a very mixed bag, isn't it, when it comes to voting. And you've got people that vote for a party, they always have done, and that's who they'll vote for, and then you've got the people, well, what I'm like, I will literally look at the candidate, is that the right word?
Depends what you're going to say afterwards,
I suppose. The person that's going for the
For the job,
yeah,
right.
Or the party that they're going for, and I'll look at what their
trifle
manifesto,
what their manifesto is all about, what they're pushing, and basically, if it aligns with me, that's the one I vote for, the one that most aligns with my values or what I think the direction of the country should be going in, and what benefits me, I guess, is probably the best way of saying it. Yep. And that's who I see as well.
So
you're
a part-time
vote.
Criminal as well, then?
Possibly.
But you do a bit of research beforehand. You do look at it and actually say, so you wouldn't say that you are like one party through and through, or that you're predominantly this, predominantly that. You literally get to a general election, look at the manifestos, even if it's just the headlines, and kind of go, do you know what, that fits for me.
Yeah, I can definitely say I've never read a full manifesto. But in recent years, I've started to get more and more into it. I really have. So I feel like I want to read a manifesto or at least know more.
But you're too busy reading your book about your lawnmower.
Exactly. That is very true. I definitely want to know more. But I do think that in recent years, I see it as though if they wanted to get more of a younger audience involved, they should do it more like X Factor. or Britain's Got Talent, because you look at the audiences that they get, and if they did it more where
I think they should go to the next level and do it on the level of Squid Games.
Right. Now that would be interesting.
That would be
interesting,
but you know where it's made, they've made a bit more of it, and where I think, you know, like the policies and the things that they want to do, so that it was more of a they put the policies out there that people want to push more, what they think is more important to us. So instead of it just being about what they want to do, they're almost asking us what we want from them.
Okay.
So they say to us, look, these are all the different things, be it immigration, tax.
Immigration.
Immigration.
What do you call things like the NHS and the
public services?
Public services.
Immigration.
Stuff like that.
Tax.
And if that was all
a
list,
record into this time.
Yeah.
If that was a list of things, and then we all voted for what we wanted to be, you know, the most popular, and then the next round was what they would push based on them.
Oh,
and
next round, so it's literally a knockout competition.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would it work? Probably not. And you two are probably all three of you are probably just laughing, going, "Oh no."
Look, I get your sentiment behind it. I think the problem is, Rob, is that literally you. I suppose this is the whole problem with politics, isn't it? That you kind of sit there and you go, you could have someone that go, "Is NHS important?" And you could ask the country. And literally, some people are going to say yes, some people are going to say no.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? It's like you're almost going into the realms of almost asking for a referendum for every single subject.
Yeah.
And let's face it, we all know how that goes.
Absolutely. Well, I was just about to say, you can only go by the information that you know.
Exactly.
Can't you? Right?
Yes.
Which is exactly what happened with Brexit, or certainly when I voted during the Brexit for... the fact that I was just going by the information I'd been given, you know, and then afterwards it transpires that not all of that was true, and then you feel silly because you think, well, So, yeah, I guess that's a point I'd not thought about.
Well, it is. I mean, that's the whole thing, isn't it? A politician is a salesman, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah.
A corrupt salesman.
And that's what they
have a look at what you could have won.
That's what they do. They're all about pushing their policies and agendas and trying to sell. You know, as Mark would call them, you know, snake oil salesmen.
What's one of them?
they sell them magic that doesn't exist.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and that because it's all about getting to power.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about gaining power and then staying in power.
Mm.
And that's why you hear these keywords all the time of immigration, tax, because these are the what things that people's ears prick up and have an opinion about.
Right.
And that's what they do. They sell the dream. But I know that winds Mark up. I'll let Mark get into it in a minute. I know that kind of really riles him up. But my opinion on it, or my thought process on it, is, well, they're all the same. They're all doing the same thing. It's not as if so many parties are barefaced lying and some are just telling the truth. They're all wanting to get into power, they're all asking for votes, they're all salesmen, so therefore you've got to treat them all the same because we've got to vote.
And
the trouble is this time as well, you've got, you know, the government that are in power, or the party that are in power, should I say. they've shot themselves in the foot that many times, their feet are like tea bags. And it's not so much about what you're going to say to beat them, it's what you don't say so that you don't implicate yourself.
Yeah.
So that's why Starmer's, he doesn't have to say anything. He's just watching them all, you know...
implode.
Implode.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happening.
They've got four investigations now for people betting on when election date we're going to be.
Yeah.
Four?
Yeah.
I mean, are they skinned?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I don't think the bets, from what I know, I don't think we're not talking... hundreds and hundreds of thousands. I think we're talking like 400, 500 quid, aren't we, or something?
I mean, and stuff like that as well that just detracts from the actual election, doesn't it? It just takes all the focus away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that what you just said, Mark, is exactly how I've felt for a while now, is that you do find people that, I wouldn't say don't know much about politics. I'm me being one of them. And all I ever say is, you're picking who you want to be in power based on the best lie.
Mm,
yeah.
That's how I look at it. Yeah. You know, someone that doesn't know an awful lot, it's just like, well, I just see it as they're all liars or they're all lying and you've just got to pick the best one.
Yeah.
That, in my case, applies to me and, you know, what my values and blah, blah, blah. You know.
I do think that the parties and what they're putting across, the policies and what they want to do, I do think that they truly believe that that's what they want to do. Mm. I think the lying is about... whether they can achieve it or not.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you know what I mean? So I do think that's what they believe, that they believe that the country would be better off in that way, but then they say it to get these headlines or to get people listening, but there's no meat to it. There's no structure behind it.
There's no how, is there?
There's no how, because fundamentally they don't know how, or they don't know how they're going to afford it, or they don't know...
I mean, look at the Greens. They say some things that I believe in, and I think I could vote for Greens. However, they've got some other ideas, and I think, how can anybody afford to do... Like, one of their policies is to increase minimum wage to £15 an hour. Mm-hmm. For so that's effectively unskilled workers, no disrespect, because I know some of these people do jobs that are critical, you know, working in supermarkets and all that sort of stuff. But how could somebody who runs a small business afford to pay, you know, a member of staff, let's say they've got a sandwich shop and they've got a couple of part-time members of staff, and all of a sudden they've got to start paying them £15 an hour. Well, if they can't afford it, the business is going to shut down.
Yeah. And don't forget, it's not just the £15 an hour, because then the employee...
Absolutely, contributions all go up.
And stuff,
yeah,
all go.
Pension contributions.
It's always, yeah, everything. The pension contributions. And I think the thing is I totally understand, by the way, that if somebody was out there that was earning £13 an hour minimum wage, you know, doing a very good job of what they do,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden they've got someone in front of them saying, we're going to make your minimum wage £15 an hour, I can totally understand why someone would go, brilliant.
It'd be great. I'm voting
for them.
Yeah. You know,
but the whole the mechanism has to be there to support the employer.
This is the thing. So that you've got to have the ability to think big picture. So if I'm getting paid £15 an hour, what does mean that my manager's then got to be paid?
Mm.
What does their manager then have to be paid? You know, and what happens is it starts to squash the workforce. Now, don't get me wrong, I know there's a lot of people out there that say, well, yeah, good, we need to close the gap between the rich and the poor. And I don't necessarily disagree with that.
I agree with it, yeah.
But we have to remember that the way that these big companies work, that's not how they do. All they do, they don't squish them down. They pay the middle management a bit more and get rid of the lower end of staff and make the middle management do more.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then
more people unemployed. That then costs the country because they're going to claim benefits.
I'll always remember, I'm going back a good few years, and it was leading up to a general election, and someone that worked in one of my hotels said to me, you like politics, don't you, Kirk? I'm like, yeah. She's like, can you help me? I says, what do you mean? She says, I don't know who to vote for. I says, I'm not going to tell you to vote for. I'm a big believer in that. I'm a big believer that I'll give advice to anybody, but I wouldn't, you know, sway someone's vote purposefully.
Put your opinions on someone else.
So I said, okay. I said, I'll ask you some key questions, and based on what you answer, we'll give you an idea of which party you're more aligned with. And one of the things I asked was, do you believe that if you earn more than £50,000 a year, you should pay 40% tax? And she went, absolutely. I says, you do? I says, you believe that anyone that earns more than £50,000 should be taxed 40%? She went, yeah. I said, right. I says, can I ask you another question? She says, yeah. I says, what happens if you earn more than £50,000 a year? She went, oh, then in that case, no.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what are you voting for? Are you voting for yourself now?
Yeah.
Or are you voting for what you believe in? Are you voting for what you believe in?
Yeah.
You know, I know that me and Mark talk a lot about politics, especially leading up to an election. And I know that Mark's quite angry about it all. He's quite, you know, so I know you're going to vote on Thursday.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you who you're going to vote for. What I'm going to say is, how are you approaching that then? Because at the minute, correct me if I'm wrong, you are pretty much in the mindset of they're all the same, they're all liars, that no one, you know, sort of
blindfolded
thing.
And ip dip do.
Eeny meeny miny mo.
Yeah.
But no, seriously though, do you look at it as, are you looking at the greater good, what's good for the country, or do you look at it, what's good for yourself personally?
Both. I think there are certain things that you can afford to forego that would be personally beneficial if you know that there's something that's going to benefit a lot more people, that would benefit everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the NHS, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily rely heavily on the NHS. However, I know that if anything should ever happen to anybody that I know, you're stuck in a queue for however long to get an appointment for things. So, that's massively important to me. What the answer is, I don't know. But there are certain things that could sway me, and I won't lie. If somebody said, right, we're gonna, you know, deliver tax cuts.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the numbers added up, and I'd be like, fair enough, okay. But they can't be giving you tax cuts and then closing four hospitals because they can't pay for them. So, you know what I mean? And that's where you've got to find the balance.
What about the C1 licence?
Well, that made me very angry.
What's that?
That's the licence, so that grandfather's rights, basically. So
Mark has them.
I know he does.
Is this to do with caravans and towing?
Towing, yeah.
Okay, right, yeah. I've got that.
He's got a licence to fly Spitfire.
I can do anything on my license. Anything.
Yeah, so basically, we've got some of the grandfather's rights now because they increased the towing capacity.
They did.
You could tow 3.5 ton with 3.5 ton. Anyway, the Tories came up with an idea. They said there's not enough people coming into the driving industry to drive larger vehicles.
Yeah.
So why don't we give the rest of the grandfather's rights, i.e. the 7.5 ton weight capacity, give that to everybody? And I thought, brilliant, this is great, this, because it's 1,200 quid for course and test.
Yeah, absolutely.
And everybody that voted against it were Labour.
Yeah.
Not one Labour member voted in favour, right. which screams to me that it's party politics.
Party politics.
They're not interested in the topic. They're not interested that it was a C1 licence. It could have been a vote about, you know, abortion. It could have been a vote about, you know, trans rights. Yeah.
Economy, yeah. Anything.
They were voting against the Tories as opposed to against.
It doesn't matter what it was. Yeah. It was just a case of, well, they want that, so we're going to say no. We don't want that.
Exactly. Right, yeah. Okay. And but people lose out, so I'm going to lose out. It's going to cost me now because I'm going to do the course, but it's going to cost me 1,200 quid. I'd have got it for nothing because I'd have got the.
He was very angry about it.
I was very angry.
This is not a Toyota caravan, though, is it?
Sorry,
that's not just a Toyota caravan.
No. This is for when we move on to the motorhome.
I'm preparing, ready for the. Yeah.
So anyway. Yeah, so we're very angry about that, and then I was like, right, Labour can shove it, you know.
They can't. So it sounds like you won't be voting Labour then,
well,
Mark.
Well, but obviously,
that's cost.
I've calmed down a little bit now, okay. And you start to look and listen and think, and, you know, you've got to take a more tactful approach to voting.
Overall, you never know.
Okay. How politics work, Labour might come up and do a vote on it and pass it.
Yeah. You know? Now it's their idea.
Exactly. You know, you never know, dear. So fingers crossed.
What about you, Kirk? You've asked me that question. What do you vote based on?
Well, I'll be very honest that I do read all the manifestos.
All right.
Do you know what? That's
boring.
A lie. That's a lie. I don't read them all. I read the ones that I class as relevant.
Right, so okay.
I'll read Labour's, I'll read Conservatives. I tend to read Lib Dems just to see what they're cuckooing about. And then this year I have also read Reforms as well. Reforms contract, not manifesto.
Yeah.
And I tend to read the manifestos. And then first things first, I think about myself. And right. That's very selfish, but that's I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
I think about myself. So if there's something that's going to make me personally or me and my family better off, then that's instantly going to push them towards the top of a pile.
Yeah.
Once I've done that, I then look at a broader view. I look at a broader view on things like, have we mentioned immigration and tax?
don't think we have.
But you know, I look at the big picture then. Okay, and I'm not saying that one can't outweigh the other, by the way. I'm just saying that's my process.
Right.
Okay, and if I get to the end of it and it's very clear that one party benefits both me personally and what I feel the country personally,
yeah,
then that's who I'm voting for. Right. And it doesn't matter to me whether I've voted for them before, whether I've never voted for them before, but I do research and I do look at these things. Mm. Okay, and it's part of... It's part of my biggest issue that I have with voters and voting. And it is, and I will have this debate with anybody, okay? I laugh and joke about always being right, okay? And I know I do and stuff like that. And I'm not, just for the record, I know I'm not always right.
Oh, yeah. Have you said that on tape?
I thought I were once, but I were mistaken. But the it's about when someone wants to debate something with me, then I will debate all day long. I'm sure you know that about me by now.
Yes.
All right. But don't try and debate with me on something that I've done the research on when you haven't.
Yeah.
Okay? Or when you've just read your information from TikTok.
Yeah.
All right? That's what annoys me. If that's how you want to approach voting, then that's up to you. That's up to you. You know, that's down to you, okay? But don't try and debate and argue with me if you don't know the facts.
No.
Or you don't know, you haven't researched it, so at least try and get a level of facts,
yeah.
All right? At least someone like you, Rob, will sit there and go, I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know. This is what I've heard. This is what I've read. This is what it is. And we can chat and talk about that all day long.
And I do have opinions, obviously, because you form an opinion just from... Any bit of knowledge you gain more of an opinion, don't you?
Of course.
I think, am I right in thinking, Mark?
Or me?
You, yes, yep. You. you're also really in, quite into politics.
I'm into politics, yeah, yeah. I love politics, yeah. Yeah.
And what's your stance on this? What do you?
As in, who do I vote for? Who do I think about and stuff like that?
Well, how do you approach it?
How do I approach it? Well, same as you guys. It's all about myself. I mean, obviously, I've got one vote. It's all about me.
Same as you lot.
Yeah, I've got one vote. So, of course, you know, everybody else has got a vote. So if I were voting for other people, it's slightly different. If I were voting for, like, if they said, right, you're voting for Kurt, Rob and Mark today, I'd be like, okay, I wouldn't go out and just vote for what I think. I'd discuss it with you. But of course, that's the system doesn't work like that. It's one vote per person. So I think about myself, particularly for my business as well. You know, I think about the business, the tax implications for me, and, you know, how that would work. So that comes into play. But then, of course, you know, you look at the wider scope of things, don't you? Like NHS and things like that. Maybe not so much schools, because obviously I haven't got kids at school age. So it doesn't affect me. I mean, it affects other people. Mm-hmm. But of course, then they would, like Kurt's got kids. So we'd think about the school's element of a vote, you know, for a but that's for Kurt to decide, not for me to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
The bit where I get all confused is I understand
when you wake up.
Yeah. The politics.
I understand that I go and vote, right? But I don't really understand what my vote is doing, right? Okay. So because I know like there's so many seats in Parliament, and one example is that I only learned literally days ago is that reform not everybody can vote reform because certain places don't have a candidate.
Yeah. That's not just reform, by the way. There's other parties that don't stand candidates in all areas. But,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. So not everybody can do it. So then I go, well, that's not really fair then, because if there's loads of parties all up for it, but you can't vote. That's like X Factor, and there's 10 people singing, but you can't vote for three of them. Well, they're not going to win. Yeah. And so I'm a bit like, how does that? I don't get it. Can you explain that to me?
Well, I mean,
you're right, but it's down to the parties themselves. So nobody's like, for example, let's take Labour just as an example. Labour can put a constituent, is that right? I'm saying that right?
A candidate in
each consistent...
Go on.
I can't say this word.
We're not moving on until you say constituency.
So Labour can put a candidate in every constituency.
Yes! Yes.
I had to think about that and say it slow. But they can do that. And of course, so can every other party, you know, reform, whatever. They can do that. So it's their decision. They're not restricted. So... Yes, you're right, it's not fair, but it's their choice.
But it's the party's fault.
So it's the party's fault, really.
So what you're saying is they've not put somebody in that, what would you call it, a town? Like, so for instance,
our
nearest place I know of, Doncaster, don't have anyone for reform.
No.
So no one in Doncaster can vote for reform. So that's their fault for not putting... someone.
Well, it is. Yeah. It's going to be down to a couple of things. Because they can't find the people, or bearing in mind, it costs money to do this sort of thing.
Right. Okay.
You know, so there's other fights. I mean, they're the basically big two. You know, trying to find someone, and because it's no good saying to you, Rob, do you want to do it? Yeah, I'll give it a go. They need to vet you, or they should be vetting them anyway. Yeah. All parties should be vetting, and then of course that costs money because you've got to pay for. So
and they should be passionate about what it is. That party is doing.
Of course they should. So they're the biggest two, but it's down to the party themselves. To make that decision.
So then we go and vote, right? And we all put us votes in for who we can vote for and who we want to vote for.
Yeah.
And then, how does that then...
Somebody counts it and goes...
I wish you could see his face. I wish you could see his face. He's really digging deep, struggling here.
How it works, Rob, is you vote for Conservative, whatever, and then somebody, Sheila, counts it and goes, we've got to vote for Conservative and put it in a pile. Yeah. And that's it.
Right. And then they add them up.
Yeah. The title to a pigeon, send it to Westminster.
But there's only 200 seats.
650.
Oh, 650. Where did I get 200 from?
Not sure.
So there's 650 seats in House of Parliament.
Yeah. Yes.
How do they decide how that 650 seats is filled?
On who wins a seat.
By who's voted.
You know them votes that we were just talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's more than 650 people voting for...
Okay, I'm with you, Rob. I'll answer you seriously. I won't take the mickey. So each seat in Parliament represents a constituency.
All right.
An area.
Yeah.
That's the better word.
An area, okay. So let's say Yorkshire and Humber.
Right, okay.
Okay, so there's a seat in Parliament for the MP of Yorkshire and Humber.
Right.
Okay, so the Yorkshire and Humber, their votes get compiled.
Yeah.
And whichever party has won that vote in that area
yeah.
gets that seat in Parliament.
Oh, right, okay.
Okay,
right.
So there's 650 seats.
Yeah.
So that means there's 650 areas.
Areas.
650 constituencies.
Constituencies.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay. Some will be one party, some will be another. Yeah.
Hey,
okay.
I've got a question. Is yeah. it always the same seat? Like, physically?
Oh, good question. What, you've like, watched a TV programme?
Yorkshire and Humber, yeah. Third row, second in.
Yeah, C5.
Yeah.
Oh, it
yeah.
can't be, though, can't it? Because there's back benches and front benches. So.
Yes.
And they change,
you mean,
don't
you,
they?
You mean the physical seats?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they can sit where they want.
Right, okay.
In fact, talking about seats, I did watch a documentary about this, about the seats in... There ain't enough seats for them all. That's why you see them stood up.
Right.
Because obviously
right.
it's an old building. They, when they originally done the system...
So there's not 650 seats?
No.
Now you've really blown his brain.
No.
Wow.
I mean, and let's be technical, there's no...
Well, there's only an IKEA around corner. They will get some stackable chairs, well, can't they?
I mean, technically, they're not seats, they're benches.
Yeah, they are benches.
Well, so
actually,
if you've got
yeah,
a fat MP, yeah. he's taking up like two seats. I mean, what's yeah. going off here? So, yeah, they're not technically seats, and there's not enough for them to get in there. That's why you see them stood up and stuff.
I'd make them all stand up.
But no, but what the fact that I did find out is... when they go in to, you know, obviously they debate stuff all the time and that, and you know, when we tend to see it on TV, it's usually packed out. But they have to go in and write the name on a piece of paper and put it on the seat, if you like, or the bench, so they can sit there.
Uh-huh.
So they all, obviously, some people try to get the same seats, but they don't always happen.
Well, like yeah. a placeholder.
Yeah, like, yeah. like a placeholder, yeah, that's yeah. what they have to do. And
so where I get a bit more confused, if I can, just for 1 second. And I might just be getting confused here, but
yeah.
wasn't there something years ago, a few years back?
Oh, here we go.
Where we had to
guy
vote,
folks. Where there would have been no seats.
Where we had to vote for a different way of doing it.
Okay, all right. Let's slow down a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
otherwise,
right,
your head's
yeah.
going to pop. All right. So to finish off what we were saying before about the seats, you've got 650 in the House. Well, not six. Let's not go there.
Oh, how many actually are there? Oh, you're late again. You can stand up.
So there's 650 in there. Okay.
Yeah.
Each area has a vote. Each area gets a seat. Once that gets beyond 50% of the 650,
yeah,
that's who wins. So therefore, that's the government that's in power. That's a majority.
Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So as soon as someone gets
326. Yeah.
Yeah. Above 50%, they've won the majority. Then, however many more they get above that, is when they talk about how much of a majority. Someone's they've got.
Right. And okay? I'm guessing the more seats they've got means they've got more power within making the decision.
That's exactly what it is, because
exactly.
when you've got more people that can vote on a topic that are in the House of Commons,
yeah,
then you're more inclined to get your vote passed, aren't
yes.
you? Because you've got more people already.
That
you just have to make sure
argument.
That the people in your party are supporting you, because you could be putting things forward and you have people voting against you.
So let me, for example of this, remember Theresa May?
Yes.
And she got, they were really popular at the time, so she decided to go for a snap election. So you know what a snap election is, yeah, Rob?
I'm guessing it's one that just comes off the cuff.
Well,
pretty
exactly.
much. There
pretty
we
much,
go.
Yeah. yeah. So the terms should be 5 years. So she decided to have a snap election because she got a good majority. But it ended up, as we all know, it didn't go her way. So her huge majority that she'd sort of got, you know, because she...
Inherited.
Call,
yeah.
Inherited. That's the right word. Inherited. She lost that huge majority.
Right.
So similar to what Mark just said, when then Conservatives are then trying to pass laws, if they've got a huge majority, it should not be a problem. Even if you get some rebel... Conservatives, you know, voting against the government, even if that happens, they're still pretty much going to get it through. But when you've got a small majority, you need all them Conservative votes. So if you've got some rebelling and Labour don't go with you, then they struggle to pass laws and
right.
it
okay.
ends up into utter chaos.
You're not talking about
so
that. Something else that really grinds my gears.
Oh, here we go.
Have you ever watched BBC Parliament?
Yeah.
Yep.
And so you can watch a debate and it might be something massive and it's packed.
Yeah.
Everyone's in there and then... They break off, they finish. And then you might have, I don't know, a dozen, maybe 20 or 30 even, MPs left in there.
Yep.
That they're then debating on other topics. And it's like,
yep.
well, hang on a minute,
yep.
you've all buggered
yep.
off.
Yeah.
And they're talking about something that's important to one of their constituents.
Yep.
And the room's emptied.
Yeah.
I find that really distasteful.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Although, I mean, I'm totally with you, Mark. Totally with you. I'm just not sure what the answer is.
I know.
Because yeah. obviously they have got jobs to do and they have got stuff to do.
I could tell you what the answer is, because what I think they should do is pay MPs more.
Yes.
I know people's going to people's going to be listening to this and going, well, hang on, they want more. I think they should pay more because I don't think they paid a lot for what they do.
I agree with you, Mark.
I'm
going to be like that bloke in Oliver.
More? but the caveat to this should be they should not have second jobs. All this going off, you know, doing celebrity stuff, doing GB News.
Betting on election dates.
Doing this in the jungle stuff, doing consultant work. It should all stop. So yeah, pay them more, but no second jobs, because it's similar to what Mark's just said. You know, they're off gallivanting doing other stuff.
They could be off the PMQs on a Wednesday. It's like a soap opera. Yeah. It's less about politics, and it's more about character and assassinating each other. And oh well, you said this last week. I don't care, mate.
Well, absolutely. And this is what I'm saying. If you're paying them more and you're stopping them from doing second jobs, then they need to be doing that job full time.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You guys don't go to work and go, I'm just nipping off, Dave, to I've just got my second job to go to. You don't. You do your job, don't you?
Yeah.
You're not doing a second job.
I mean, there's a lot of people out there that would say, you want to pay them more.
Yeah.
Get, you know, they're already paid, you know. But I guess when you think about it, I guess it's one of them things where what we tend to get hung up on is things like, because we hear that they're all dodging tax or they've got tax loopholes, their expenses that they keep claiming for.
Yeah. And for me, though, that's all separate issues. It's all separate. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. What I'm saying is I agree with Mark. I believe that MPs should be paid more. You know, and again, I know what you're saying. People are going to be listening to us now going, what the hell? You are off your rocker.
All right? And I'm with them.
You know, however, that these MPs, jobs of MPs, if done properly, should be one of the most important jobs, not only in the UK, in the world.
Right, yeah.
Yeah? They are meant to be running one of the top 10 most rich and powerful countries in the world.
Yeah.
They're dealing with nuclear weapons. They're dealing with, what is it, the fourth or fifth biggest armed forces in the world? Or something like that.
I don't think we used to be. I don't think we are now.
Still a powerful. Let's say a powerful.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You know, we literally have the ability to declare war. Mm. Okay. We've got people that are in charge of making sure that we've got gas and electric in our house, that we've got, you know, roads to drive us cars on or whatever. These are, you know, and my issue is, I agree with Mark, it should come with a caveat that's the job they do and that's it. But
full time.
We should also be trying to attract a higher caliber of person.
Right, yeah.
To this do lot, the job.
You're talking about running different things. They couldn't run a bath.
No.
Some of these.
Some of them, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know.
And you talk about driving on roads. You get rattled to death driving down roads. You would.
Absolutely.
And it's like driving on moon.
But the thing is...
Have you driven on moon?
You can do it in that car. You can do it on the screen.
Okay.
And then it goes up on it. It's Mars, actually, not the moon.
All right, okay.
But that comes up on your sat-nav. But it does feel like it, because you're driving along, so it's like a full simulation.
This is the Tesla. Yeah. We're talking about the Tesla,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a full simulation. You feel like you're driving in space.
No, he's talking about his moon buggy he's got.
Anyway. But the thing is, the only way you're going to attract a higher caliber of person is by paying more money. Because if you can go into the private sector at that kind of level that they're talking about, what they're doing and what they're in charge of and their level of responsibility, you can go and work in the private sector for probably £200,000 a year.
Oh, easy. Yeah,
easy. If not more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yet you want to work for the government or whatever, 80 grand. Yes, plus expenses, and I get that. But it's less than most other countries pay their political leaders.
Right.
You know, And so I'm with Mark. Yep. I understand people that might sit there and scoff and say you're talking, but if we be right, that's a lot of them people are saying that because the £80,000 is a lot more money than what they're earning.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know, whereas
we hear all these other fiascos that's going off with claiming taxes.
And I'm just trying to bring it down to a fact of, I want a higher caliber of person in politics.
Yeah. Well, this
to attract that, we've got to pay
them
more.
Not so much high caliber, it's less corrupt. Because you get these people that they might not have a second job, but they've got a brother-in-law or a best friend or whatever that runs, you know, some sort of firm that could benefit. They get a contract. You know, look at her with PPE, Michelle Moan.
Yeah.
Ben. Mm.
Yeah.
And there's loads of them at it. I mean, I'm going to digress a little bit now, and I'm not going to be a conspiracy theorist because, you know, I hugely believe in what happened. But when George Bush declared war on Saddam Hussein, one of his closest allies He's an arms dealer. Mm-hmm. His stock price went through the roof.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So there's all you can look at certain things and go, there's people benefiting from these decisions.
I think my biggest issue is exactly based on what you've just said in terms of the caliber of the person that's running or up for election or MPs in general, is the fact that all I see when I watch these debates that's going on at the minute is just people arguing. They're more bothered about attacking the other government. Opposition and saying what they're not doing and what they're not good at and all that, rather than actually concentrating on what they want to do and what we want and the information we need to know to vote for.
Well, I think you've touched on a good point, because I'm sick of all this in-party politics. I mean, I think Mark mentioned it earlier, in-party politics. You know, we've had recently about what's Labour woman? Angela Rayner's, we are tax...
On a house or something.
And stuff like that. Now, okay,
it went back further than that, because they even had one thing when she was sat opposite Boris Johnson. They reckon that she run crossing her legs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all this, you know, they're not discussing like schools and NHS. Well, they do, but then they go back to Angela Rayner and her house and
or whether Sunak's wearing right shoes.
Sunak's shoes. And is he this and there's too much of this going off, and it's not just one thing. We literally leap from one scandal or whatever, like currently obviously with all this betting thing going off. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we should just overlook it, but we focused or they are, you know, focused on all this instead of getting back to politics and discussing laws, changing laws. And it's just, I'm not interested in them going ping-ponging backwards and forwards.
No. Yeah. I've always thought, this might be my naivety when it comes to politics, but I always think you never hear anyone say, do you know what? We like that what you're doing, but we think it could be made slightly better by doing this. Or, and we like what you're doing, or we like your idea, but we think it'll be made better by doing this.
You never hear that.
I know. It's always negative. Yeah. You're rubbish at this. You've done this, and we don't like that. And look what you've done. You never hear them really concentrating on what they actually want to do. No, they just keep battering everyone else.
I half blame, maybe even more than half. I blame the media and the way that we approach things, because it's almost as though we're feeding this machine that what we want is drama.
Drama and stuff. But also,
we don't hold these parties to account properly. We're leading into
gunpowder, you mean?
Yeah. we're going into a general election. Okay, we've already had several debates on TV. All right. Even though they keep trying to put more stern-faced moderators, are they called? The people that run the debate?
Even though
they keep trying to put more stern-faced people in there, and they keep, you know, trying to get people to go, oh, no, shut up, let them speak. Fine, great, okay? But we're not holding them to account to answer the bloody question. We talk about this every single election. Right?
Yeah.
Every single election, everybody's the same. You talk to the general public and you get some members of the general public that go, I don't care about politics, it doesn't interest me. You get some other people that are interested and actually, but still, they can't give you any answer on anything because we're too busy just being given sound bites. And it really winds me up.
And that's why loads of people are losing interest in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How can you possibly motivate someone to go and vote for something when they go, well, it doesn't matter what I vote for, nothing will change.
I literally had the Labour representative come around to my house not so long ago.
Sarah Champion,
yeah. Now
Silver Fox.
Yeah. So I know Sarah Champion works very hard. She's a very hard working MP. She's been an MP for a while. Does she have a trophy? She's a... Oh, the champion. Oh, dear, Mark.
Oh, dear.
Scraping barrel of it
here.
Oh,
dear.
Okay.
But she
is a very hard-working MP and stuff, okay? And she started knocking on my door and she went, you know, who are you voting for? I was very honest and said, I don't know, okay? Because that's where I am sitting right at the moment. I don't know. So she said, well, can I talk to you about Labour? Okay, if you must.
two hours later, she's sat in kitchen with Kurt, they're having a meal together.
Yeah. So obviously we got talking, and she obviously started saying, is there a reason why you wouldn't vote Labour? Okay, and my answer to that was, I don't know what they stand for. Okay?
Yeah. I do, when they clean its settee.
You made that joke about the Queen.
Yeah.
Mark still don't get it. What do they stand for? Because like Mark was saying earlier, it's kind of it's inevitable what the result's going to be. So everybody's just trying not to trip up on themselves.
I've just got that joke. Sorry, carry on. I've just got it. Yeah.
He explained it to you in the last episode.
I forgot, but I've just got it. I've just realised. Right, okay. Yeah. Carry on.
So, it must be really good being your age. You get to hear things for the first time every day.
Every day.
It is great. It is great. Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing, right? So she said to me, read the manifesto. The manifesto's out soon. Read the manifesto. I'm like, well, I actually will. So, you know. Yeah. The manifesto came out. It's 136 pages long. All right? Wow. 136 pages long. So that to me automatically says you are making it hard for people to read. You don't want people to read it. But fine, whatever. I read it. All right? Laid it bath. Okay? I read it. And I'm reading through, right? And so bear in mind, there's already been debates on.
I'm struggling to get the vision of you in the bath now.
All right.
What?
You've got a picture. Just look on your phone. So
I ain't got that picture.
You're not on my list, sorry. So you read through. Straight away, I get to this bit about the economy. So we'd like to think that the economy is pretty major.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer that the economy is the be all and end all, really.
Yeah.
How you're performing that matters, impacts everything else. And literally it starts talking about that Labour are going to run to two fiscal rules. Don't worry, I'm not going to bore you too much. I'm just going to give you one.
Okay? I'm following you so far.
One fiscal rule that they said that no matter what they will do, they will make all their financial decisions based on this fiscal rule. Okay? That by the end of year one, that they will have their budget balanced. Now, what I mean by that is I don't mean that they'll have cleared all the debt, but it means by the end of year one, they'll have only spent what they've made.
Yeah.
All right? So balance to zero.
Yeah.
So in the same manifesto, they say that they're not going to increase income tax, they're not going to increase VAT, and they're not going to increase national insurance. All right? Yeah. So the three main taxes that you earn money from, they're not going to increase.
It'll be council tax the increase.
Well, yeah, that's a different matter.
We know that.
Right? They're not going to increase them. All right? They also said they're not going to cut money on NHS, they're not going to cut money on public services, and they're not going to cut money on, they're not going to do any kind of spending cuts.
Which leaves them about enough money for a Twix.
Yeah, okay. So, they're not going to make any more money because they're not putting any tax up. Yeah. They're not going to save any money because they're not going to cut any services. All right. Last year's deficit, so this is just a year, okay, was minus £121 billion. So, as a country, we spent £121 billion more than we made. In a year.
Is Rob still asleep? Is he awake?
I'm amazed by this.
All right. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So their main fiscal rule is saying that by the end of year one, that'll be zero. So why is it not the first question that anybody is asking Labour, where is the £121 billion coming from to balance the books?
Well, it is getting asked, isn't it? It's just not getting answered.
I must admit, I haven't heard it.
I've not heard that question asked.
It's been
the one. It's been the whole talking point about Labour.
No, they've said how they're going to afford their policies. I'm talking about how they're going to balance the budget before they even start funding the extra 1,000 people that they're going to recruit to deport people, the extra people that he's going to get to bash the gangs and stuff like that. Mm. That's what they're asking. Where are you going to get the money from to afford this? I think he's getting it from his dad's tool maker. I think his dad.
Oh yeah. Did you know his dad's a tool maker?
What's his dad called? Stanley. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, his dad was a tool maker, but he owned the company.
Yeah, that's about right.
He didn't make the tools. He owned
That's
about right.
So it's technically true, but not as we would think.
He literally bangs on about that every time.
Yeah, he's
not
sat at your machine going, you know, we Dave and all, you know, and everybody else around him.
But this is what I mean about we don't ask the right questions. Before we even talk about all these policies that you're going to spend money on, great. Where's the £121 billion coming from to meet your first fiscal rule? Nobody that I've heard, has asked that question.
And I'm guessing
maybe not specifically on that, on getting the deficit, But just in general.
Yeah, getting, how they're going to afford
earning,
it.
Earning the money to do anything.
And I guess that's probably the same with most of them, in the respect that you hear a lot of what they're going to do, and once they've got past the bashing each other, they never really say how they're going to do it. Well, they never say where this money's coming from. And everybody obviously wants to know, are you going to put us tax up? Are you going to do this? Because we want to know how it's going to affect us personally, yeah, as we've all mentioned. But you never really find out.
Wait, he actually even said that he's not going to say it.
He did.
It was on LBC getting interviewed by Nick Ferrari, and he said to him,
"Oh, I've seen that.
I am not going to sit in an LBC studio and explain my budget for the next 5 years." What?
Yeah.
Well, that's like saying, "Oh, yeah. So why do you want this job?" I'm not telling you. What? Why do you think you're good enough for this job? Not to do with you.
Amazing.
What? I don't have to tell you.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, when can you start?
See, I think the thing as well that bothers me is that whether or not I don't think anybody's going to disagree that the situation we're in right now isn't great, right? But I really struggle to understand that.
Where do we start?
I disagree. Yeah.
The party that are in power at the minute, right?
Yes, the Conservatives.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, they've not done very, very well, right? We're in a pretty dire situation. But I can't help but think that what's happened in the last 8 years, how long have they actually been in?
14 years.
14 years. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't go back up 14 years. But for a period of this time, I just know there's loads of things that's happened, right? And none of it would have helped any government, no matter who was in power, no matter what they were doing. There's so many things that's come up recently that just wouldn't have helped anybody, and it would surely that would have put us in a bad situation no matter who was running the country. So I sometimes worry that even though I sit there and go, well, yeah, the country's not in a great state, so I'll not vote for the ones that are in, because we already know it's in a bad state. But then I kind of go, yeah, but what would anyone else have done if they'd just had the succession of things that's happened? Yeah,
basically you're saying we've had some curveballs to deal with, haven't we? Some real big curveballs.
And I'm not trying to say...
You're talking about COVID and Brexit.
Yeah. And what I mean is, not to defend the ones that are in, but also say that I feel as though it's almost like, well, we all know who's won anyway, you know. But then I stand back and go, yeah, but, you know, when devil's advocate, the one I tend to always try and stick up for the...
Underdog.
And the government that are in at the minute are the underdog at the minute, as far as I would
concerned. To win the election, yes.
Yeah. So then I find myself trying to defend him a little bit, even though, what is there to defend? But I do think, yeah, but hold on a minute, there has been quite a lot.
Well, I know what they could do. They could bring back in the person that brought about the Brexit referendum and make him a Lord. That's what they could do, make him Foreign Secretary, make him a Lord.
Lord Cameron, you were referring to?
Yeah.
I don't have an issue with the fact that they've made Cameron a Lord.
No, I don't.
I thought he was a good Prime Minister. He was an ex-Prime Minister. He was over a good period of time. He showed his strength as a leader of the country. He was almost forced into the Brexit referendum to make sure they got, you know, Farage off his back to win the election.
Who are you on about?
David Cameron.
All right.
Get Farage off his back. Look where that got him.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But what I'm saying is I don't believe that he's physically done anything wrong.
Hang on one second. I think Rob's a bit lost.
Why are we talking about him? What the Lord? What?
He's been made a Lord.
Well, you know he's a Lord, don't you?
I've no idea. No.
Do you know what the House of Lords is?
I know the House of Lords is, yeah.
Okay, so you know how people get into the House of Lords? I mean, it's very corrupt.
Oh, sorry, I'm mistaken. The House of Lords is the
no. There's
Parliament.
House of Parliament.
House of Lords is the top table.
And the House of Lords.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. No, I didn't.
So it's like the upper chamber.
The upper chamber. Yeah. So right. The House of Parliament is what we've just discussed. As in, right. We vote for the MPs.
Yeah.
House of Lords, nobody votes for them.
So just to clarify, their job or their supposed job.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that when the MPs want to bring in a law?
Yeah.
They vote on that law.
Yeah.
It then goes to the House of Lords.
Okay.
They also have to
pass
it.
They scrutinise it.
Yeah.
Okay. If they pass it, it then goes to the royal family to sign off.
Right.
Regal.
Oh, God.
Oh, anyway. It goes to the king to
royal,
sign.
Royal approval.
Royal approval.
Royal assent. Assent.
Anyway.
Yeah, assent.
So it goes... But what can happen is that all these can vote.
Yeah.
It can go up to the House of Lords and they can go, no.
They can poo-poo
and
it.
And they can push it back down.
Okay, and what you're saying is that David Cameron has been made a lord, so now he's one of these people that makes his decision.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm with you now.
And something else that boils me, you, Ryan, talking about the House of Lords, you've got Ayesha Hazarika, an ex-Labour MP. She wanted to abolish the House of Lords until she was offered the membership. And now what?
Does she want to get rid of it?
Baroness Ayesha Hazarika now. Oh, yeah. Because do you know what I mean? Well, it's all well and good until somebody's crossing the path.
Well, you're right. I mean, I don't approve of the House of Lords to some degree. I mean, I don't like how it's full of. I mean, there's some people, some lords and, you know, when baronesses, they don't even attend, or, you know, or they'll do one day or.
I believe in the theory.
The theory
of the House of Lords. But, I do believe that you need an upper chamber. I do believe that they're supposed to hold them to account and stuff. And the idea is of the lords, they're meant to be the experts.
Yeah.
So, for instance, Lord Sugar. Alan Sugar, he's a lord.
Okay. Right.
So the idea is that how successful he's been in business and how successful he's, you know, what he's done for business, they make him a lord. He goes into the House of Lords, which then means if there's laws coming through,
they use his expertise and stuff
on whether it's right or not.
I have no idea that's why he was called Lord Sugar. I thought he was that important that he was Lord Sugar. As he, you will call me Lord Sugar.
Is that
I did not realise, I didn't even realise what the Lords were. I certainly didn't think he was... He got that title of some sort of.
So you're watching this program thinking he's full of
himself.
He loves
himself. Yeah.
Really? It's like when Mario hits one of those things and he gets a power up.
Yeah. So the thing is, I believe in the original idea and the original concept, I think works. But going back to what Mark
said, cronyism now.
That it's all about who's mates with who's done what for who. Yeah. Few underhanders there. Which then just makes the whole thing laughable.
Yeah,
it makes the whole thing laughable.
Talking about the House of Lords, you'll find a lot, particularly on the Conservative side, a lot of the Lords, obviously, they're nominated by the Prime Minister. So, of course, when Boris Johnson left, and even Liz Truss, she put forward loads of proposals for people.
Right.
And a lot of them are just, you know, I would say hangers-on, you know, or donors. So if you donate to the party, then you're more likely to get a peerage, that's the word I was,
right.
Which I don't think's right. So just because you're buying yourself into the House of Lords. Right. I mean, as much as I still like Boris Johnson, I didn't approve of him putting forward his dad to be a lord.
No.
I didn't think that was right because his dad's never been an MP. You don't need to be an MP, by the way, to be in the House of Lords. But just because he's your dad and he's done some good things, why are you putting him forward? Did he take up his?
I don't know.
I don't think he took it up. But.
So, Kurt, what is your stance on the whole fact that, like I said, the fact that the government that's currently in power, do seem to feel like they're just that everybody's written them off.
And I mean,
not done a good job.
It does frustrate me, and I'm not sitting here saying that I'm going to vote Conservative. I genuinely don't know who I'm going to vote for, but it does bother me a little bit, and it goes on a little bit about what we're saying now about how it's almost like personal attacks and, you know, or what did you have for your breakfast sort of thing, because it's really difficult to argue about the actual facts, because like you said, Rob, you know, if we take it right back to when Conservatives got in power, okay, 14 years, and they throw this 14 years around.
Like Rishi Sunak only had four channels.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't have Sky.
Yeah.
So, but they took over from a Labour government.
Yeah.
Okay. It was widely known at the time that Labour had spent up. They'd spent the money. There was nothing left. There was even a note left, weren't there, from the Chancellor? You know, saying basically all the money's gone.
All the money's
good
gone.
Good luck, all the money's gone.
Wow.
Okay. Now, they'll say now, they'll cover over it and go, oh, it was a joke. It's not a very funny joke for the Chancellor of the Exchequer to be leaving a new Chancellor of the Exchequer, all the money's gone.
Yeah.
Okay. So, as soon as Conservatives walked in, they had to spend the first 4 to 5 years trying to gain some money back.
Right.
That's all they could do. So they had to enter into a period of austerity.
Right.
Okay. Now, it's easy for other people to say, well, they didn't have to do that. Well, no, they could have carried on spending the money and bankrupted the country.
Yeah.
Right. So they had to go into a period of austerity, which then saw them having to cut public services, having to cut, you know, this, that and the other, not reduce taxes. So they was already starting off on the bad foot. That took 4 or 5 years. Just as they started to come out of that, And just as they started to climb themselves out of that, we then had Brexit. Yeah.
Right.
Which, let's face it, took over the political landscape for years.
Yeah.
It still has.
It still
even,
has.
Even though they won't talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so then you've got the fact of, obviously, the referendum. Then the result of the referendum. The fact that David Cameron then had to step down. I believe he had to step down. I believe that he was absolutely right to step down. He was almost put all his eggs in one basket to remain, and it lost. So, of course, you need someone
like you've lost the... Not the voice of you. Not you'd lost the power of the people.
Well, how could somebody that campaigned to remain then try and get us the best deal for leaving?
Yeah, yeah.
It just wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, yeah.
So the fact that then you had the whole leadership change, then you had the whole thing. The Brexit then still took over for 3 years.
Yeah, because
afterwards,
yeah,
that's all that all that anybody was
still
interested in.
Fighting backwards and forwards as to when it was going to happen.
Absolutely.
And everything else.
You know, just started to put that to bed, and COVID hit.
Yeah.
And listen, we can all sit here all day long and go, well, they should have done this, they should have done that, they should have done this. I'm glad I weren't making the decisions.
Absolutely, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yes, having a party was a bad idea, you know. Granted, well, I'm not going to sit here and support that, but what I'm going to say is that that is something that we've never had to experience before. And like you said, Rob, any government in power at the time would have had really important decisions to make. And hindsight's a wonderful thing to sit there after the case and go, well, they should have done this, they should have done that. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think another point with COVID is it's not as if we could have looked at other countries and gone, well, what did they do? What did they do when they had a pandemic? Because all the world were entirely the same. All countries were looking at each other going, well, we've never experienced this. Nobody knew.
And fundamentally...
It was difficult.
Fundamentally... They locked people down. They did lockdown. We were the first to mass produce the vaccine. We did the furlough scheme, which kept people, you know, in money, in jobs or whatever. You know, I believe that there were some key mistakes, yes, but I believe mistakes, like I said, hindsight's a wonderful thing. But I do believe there were some key situations that was handled very well. And then you fast forward after COVID, which cost us billions, by the way. Mm. Billions. Okay, and you've then got Rishi that stood there going, okay, over the next 18 months, the only things I'm going to promise you is to reduce inflation, reduce energy bills, and reduce tax. They're the only three kind of major promises that he made that he was going to do in his tenure, and he's done all three.
They predicted inflation were going to come down anyway.
Yeah.
With the oil and gas prices.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. But it still had to happen.
He didn't have to do anything for that to happen.
What? So you think if no one did anything at all, that
it would... They predicted halfway through this year, inflation would drop.
Yeah, drop. Not down to 2.5%.
And I also think the Bank of England had more sway over that because they obviously increased, so they had a sway, and which of course the government have no control over the Bank of England interest rates. So that were a big thing.
But what I'm saying is going on what you were saying, Rob, that I'm not sitting here saying the Conservatives are perfect and they've got my vote. Far from it. Far from it.
No, I can see that.
Yeah. When was the last time you saw a Chancellor?
What I'm saying, I know.
Is it Hunt? Jeremy Hunt?
Yeah, be careful how you say that.
Yeah.
He's very quick to jump and run into.
Yeah.
Not seen anything.
I think the last time I saw him, we were on a farm. But I don't know why.
Parkson's farm?
No, I don't mean in person, I mean on TV. I don't know why we were on a farm, but that was about a month ago.
So that's to answer your question as far as I'm concerned, Rob. I think it's very easy for someone to sit there and say, well, the country's in a mess, Conservatives have been in for 14 years, therefore it's their fault, therefore we need a change. And unfortunately, we're in a system at the minute where it's only a two-party system.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the problem. That wants fixing.
Yeah, it does.
It does want fixing.
And I think that's the thing that worries me more than anything is that I after everything you just said, and I sit there and think, yeah, I know, but the situation that we are in still isn't great. And I then battle myself and think, well, would it be good just to have a change, right? Just to shake things up, have a change and see what happens.
Well, I think a lot of people are thinking that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree, and I think that's why I'm saying it. But at the same time, I'm then thinking, yeah, but I also know, and I've said this for years, that when someone makes a decision, that decision doesn't happen overnight. So if they say, right, we're going to put a plan in place to do this, and it will take X amount of years for that plan to come to fruition.
Yep.
So anything that the government might have put in place last year, we won't see the fruition of that for another 2 years. Let's just say, it depends what it is. I'm just making numbers up. So then another government could come along and say, well, it's not really doing very well, is it? And it's like, well, no, it wasn't meant to do. It wasn't going to do well yet.
Got 2 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then so they stop it.
Yeah.
But the money that cost to put in place to get that ball rolling,
absolutely,
and it's just squashed and gone. And you never knew if it was going to work or not. Or no. They roll with it, and all of a sudden they're the ones that look great, and you go, well you didn't actually put that in place.
Well, a good example of this Rwanda plan that obviously Conservative got going off. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not come to fruition. Now, if it works or not, that's irrelevant. But what will happen is Labour said that if they get in, they'll scrap that. So we've spent millions of pounds on this Rwanda
plan. I've heard of this, but I don't actually know what it is.
The Rwanda plan is part of the immigration policy to stop boats coming into the country.
Right. Okay.
So the idea... What the Conservatives come up with is obviously they'll get people who come in illegally on these boats is to send them off to Rwanda,
yeah,
and then process them over there. So they'll live over there, and then if they're allowed to stay in country, they'll fly them back.
We're paying Rwanda, by the way.
Yeah, right.
We're giving money to Rwanda for this deal.
Right, okay.
So to say, you know, we've got to feed them, we've got to put them in hotels, and we'll look after them.
With the Rwanda thing, I'm sure I read somewhere that said that Rwanda is short of people.
Yes.
And short of workers.
Short of workers,
so it's not that they're going to be just put into hotels and, you know, given benefits as such. They're going to be put into work. I don't mean in a slave manner.
Yeah.
paid work.
Yeah, paid work,
you know?
Yeah.
True that is, I don't know.
But the whole point is, it's touching on to what you were saying, Rob, that, you know, government spent a lot of money on this, you know. And okay, they've not sent anybody to Rwanda, but Labour will come in and cancel it all. And you go, well, what, you know, we're talking millions and millions of pounds.
Yeah.
And this is the problem. I mean, again,
you just peed it up a wall.
It needs to stop regards to like ping ponging around with policies and stuff. You know, it's just costing us country so much.
Is there anything that anyone said that you really think, I really like that? That I really align with that.
Mm. Good question, Rob.
I can answer that. There's policies of Conservatives, Labour, Reform, Lib Dems to some degree, even Greens. And I go, I love, because they've all got good policies. So yeah.
The thing is,
but you can't vote for them all.
The only
of course,
person you've got speaking on behalf of Lib Dems is Daisy Cooper, because Ed Davies too busy the paddleboarding,
making
sandcastles on a beach,
going down a water slide,
riding a pushback with his leg.
Well,
he's doing what Boris were doing.
Well, he's on holiday, isn't he? Has he gone for like a 6 month holiday? That's why he's not on all these programmes, isn't he?
Yeah, but that's what he's doing. He's not going on these programmes and then just having photos of himself having fun.
Absolutely.
Look at me, the real man.
Yeah, I'm the real man making sandcastles on a beach. So more than that, stop the small boat crossings.
So, Mark, you said that every one of them's got good policies.
Yeah.
But which policy or what's one thing is it that you really align with?
Hang on. Do you want me to start? Well, what we're going to say, we're going to start saying, oh, perhaps might be going.
Yeah, well, no, I'll tell you what else. If you want me to start, if it makes you feel a bit more comfortable.
Well, go for it.
Yeah?
Yeah,
okay.
Go on.
So I've openly said that I don't know who I'm voting for.
Yeah.
Okay. But, and there's a bit of a caveat to what I'm going to say, all right? So a lot of the policies that Reform are putting to the forefront, to me, do make some sense.
Mm.
Okay? They do. And I can say that because that's what I believe, all right? But the caveat that I've got to it is the fact that they can say these things because they know they're not going to be in power. So they can throw these really radical, as they call it, changes out there, okay? And although they claim to have backed up their costings to their policies, there's no meat to the bone, there's no substance to them, because A, they've no idea, because they're not that close into politics, they've never been in power.
Right.
And B, they can say it because they're never going to have to come through on it. So I believe that we should, for instance, look after the planet, the race to net zero. I do agree with the concept of it, okay? But there's no denying it. Nigel Farage is right when he says that by us putting these things in place is not reducing the carbon. It's just shipping it out to another country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The carbon is still going to exist.
Yeah.
Just not over our country. And the thing is that's not what it's about. It's about the planet. So what he's saying is you're investing all these billions of pounds of our money to this race to net zero, but actually it's only net zero for the UK.
So it only makes us look good.
So, well, yeah. It makes us look good, if you like, but it's not actually saving the planet, because all it means is we'll import from China, we'll import from these other countries.
In fact, the biggest polluting country in the world.
I think, in fact, we're making it worse.
Yeah.
Because we're importing stuff, so there's a bigger carbon footprint.
Yeah. Yeah. So actually, it's not protecting the planet at all.
Yeah.
It just means that we're spending billions of pounds of our money to make sure that it's not the UK that's putting it into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it's like, but it just means that other countries are going to. Other countries that are equate to 60-70%
that won't sign up to certain
that
agreements.
Won't sign up to and have
like
openly
India
said they won't do it.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's not even a case of, well, if we do it, they might. They've openly said it's not going to happen. So I'm not saying that it just gets taken off the table completely. What I'm saying is we need to be a bit more clever and a bit more, what does it actually mean? So the fact that, again, Farage can stand there on TV or whatever and say, look, guys, I'm not investing all that billions pounds worth of your money into something that makes no difference to the planet. Mm. And you can't argue with that. No. How can you argue with that?
Yeah.
Okay. And I also believe that the tax should be, the tax threshold should be higher. How can you sit there and say that it's a national living wage that you need to earn X amount of money?
Yeah. And pay tax on it.
And then pay tax on it.
Yeah.
All right. So therefore, increasing, I'm a big believer in capitalism, and I'm a big believer that if you, to grow the economy, you've got to get people spending in the economy. That's what grows the economy.
And incentivise them to go to work in the first place.
Yes,
because there are some people that will be borderline, right, I'm on benefits. If I go to work, I'm going to earn a tenner more a week.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah.
You know, and that's I'm a big believer that if you want to grow the economy, you've got to get people spending money in shops, spending money on UK holidays, tourism, whatever that is. Okay, that's what drives the economy. End of story. Okay, the only way you can do that is by putting money in people's pockets.
Yeah.
All right. The only way you can do that, you know, is to up the tax threshold so they're paying less tax.
Yeah.
All right. So I also believe that from a reform point of view, they're going to increase the tax threshold to £20,000. Okay, which lifts millions of people out of paying tax or paying a lot less tax. And I also believe that they also want to increase the higher earnings threshold from 50,000 to 70,000.
Right.
Which I also agree with, because the 50,000 limit was put in years and years and years and years ago, and now £50,000 is not the same as what it were when it was originally put in.
Yeah.
Again, putting more money in people's pockets, which will grow the economy. Caveat, they also, when you get told, well, how are you going to afford to do that? It's very easy for them to sit there and say, oh, we're going to save £50 billion on red tape in the public services.
Right.
Where have you even got that number from?
Yeah.
£50 billion is a lot of money.
This is reform.
And what they're saying is they're not going to affect the front of house, they're going to affect the back of house. Yeah, there probably are some savings in the back of house, but what does that look like? And how on earth have they got to a figure of £50 billion? They don't have to explain that, because they're never going to have to do it, because they're never going to be in power.
Okay,
so out of everyone up to now, they're the policies that I actually think make the more sense.
Yeah.
But I also understand that they don't have to be held to account to it. So if anyone else wants to ask that question,
but I mean,
you
in fairness, I mean, we're talking about manifestos and parties and stuff. I mean, end of the day, they're not law abiding, these manifestos. So like with Labour, take Labour for a minute. I mean, they're going, we're not going to increase national insurance, we're not going to increase VAT, we're not going to increase your, but of course they could get in back power and U-turn. I mean, you know,
think a prime minister though that doesn't deliver on his manifesto is less likely to get into the House of Lords. unless his best mate's in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, so they could say, I mean, this is the problem with politics. That I think politics are broken. I mean, politics of my time, as if I'm like, you know, but back in the 80s, you know, politics were completely different. They were, politicians were respected more.
They all had rubber faces, didn't they, in the 80s?
80, yeah.
spitting image. You know, they were more respected. They didn't, there were less sort of stuff going. I mean, you could say, well, was it reported? I don't know, but I think there was less of this scandal going off than
scandal. Well,
like,
you mean like
scandal? Is that another word?
You mean like
say?
Two jags?
Two jags? Oh yeah. With that Prescott.
John Prescott.
Yeah, John Prescott.
I don't get it.
He ended up
two jags.
He got an egg thrown at him and he punched somebody.
Yeah, he did.
Remember?
Well, he's imagine, right. If someone threw an egg at me, I'd punch him.
I mean, can you imagine that happening today?
There's lots of eggs being thrown around. I got a clue what you're talking about.
Can someone explain this to Rob, please?
What are you on about?
So John Prescott.
Oh yeah,
he was an MP,
right?
And
Labour MP, I think.
I can't remember where he was, but he was walking. You know, there were loads of people outside, whatever, and he's walking through, shaking hands and whatnot. And then this guy just chucked an egg at him.
Oh right.
So
okay.
He's literally just like an instinct, just threw a punch and hit this bloke from
hit him on John. They started scrapping, wrestling about. Yeah. In fact, you see on YouTube, if you look at it, it'll be on YouTube. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
However, though, do you know, I have listened to Tony Blair's autobiography, and he talks about that situation.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
They actually all like congratulated him for doing it, by the way.
Yeah.
They all stood by him.
Yeah.
Even other politicians, other parties or whatever, they didn't shoo him and boo him. And
like they would do now.
Yeah, absolutely. They actually stood up for him and actually went, well, yeah, too right. All right, maybe he shouldn't have actually punched him, but it's a human reaction.
Absolutely.
He's just had an egg thrown at him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I thought, what are you going to say is that John Prescott, when he interviewed, when the interviewer asked him about it, and he said, well, when I was talking about Tony Blair that day, because he was campaigning, he said, go out and you know, make contact.
Oh, yeah.
Make contact with the people.
Make contact
with the
people.
And he said, I made contact with him, I punched him. So, you know, and he's always said that. But it's right, you know, but back then, that's how it were. But talking about things being thrown, I mean, it's like fraud with that milkshake that he got thrown at him. You know, and you see on a lot of social media saying, yeah, he deserved it. I mean, it don't matter who you are, you know,
they're just doing a job. They're doing a job.
They're doing a job. It doesn't matter what you stand for.
It is, they're doing a job.
You know, and you can disagree with him, but don't throw things at him.
But what does it help?
Exactly. Well, it's like, just stop oil.
It's like just stop oil. Yeah.
You know, defacing Stonehenge.
Yeah. What's Stonehenge ever done wrong to?
Yeah. It's some historic, you know, stone monument.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's what we're saying.
Forget Stonehenge.
We're not interested in Stonehenge.
Stonehenge, not interested.
The reason why I asked it is because I'm finding that I'm more bothered about the how than I am the what.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I know, right? But it's the whole... How are we going to set, like, what you said earlier, we're in loads of debt. How are we going to get out of debt without it affecting us too much? And that really can't happen.
Nope.
But there is one thing that I've aligned with, which is what Nigel Farage is saying, and it does come back to immigration. And it's not that I don't believe that immigration should happen, or I'm probably not even wording this right at all, but... We've got people coming in that we're welcoming into the country, and we want to help them, but at the same time, that's what's affecting a lot of our services.
Schools, for instance,
it's not necessarily that the NHS is any worse than it was 20 years ago. It's the fact that there's a lot more people using the services.
It's ballooning,
we haven't grown with the size of the people that are trying to use the NHS.
Yeah. Well, part of the problem is we can't manage these people that are coming in. I mean, we obviously, as a country, we can manage as people, but if people are coming in on boats, we have no control over that.
Well, it's not just how they're coming in. It's just the sheer volume of people that are coming in. And one of the things that Nigel said was that it would be good to see these people contributing towards our society for a period of time before they get the
benefits.
Literally benefits, you know. Yep. Before they get any benefits, before they get free NHS, you know, they abide by our laws, you know, they become a part of our
society.
Yeah. And at that point then they start getting the benefits of being inside our society. And that I align with, just because I see it that, you know, it's not just draining our economy. They are contributing. And do you know what? I'm sure a huge majority of them are contributing towards our society. They're working, you know, they're earning the money, they're spending money, you know, but it's just the ones that aren't.
In all fairness, Rob, this is part of the problem. That there's a lot of people that want to contribute to our society, but because of the laws that are in place, they're not allowed to work.
Right,
because we can't process them quick enough.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, the whole immigration thing is absolutely, it's massive.
Yeah.
It's massive, you know. And again, you're right. I understand why you would sit there and listen to Farage and think, yeah, he's talking sense. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay. But again, where's the how?
Yeah.
Where's the how? If you speak to any political party, they would tell you that we need to reduce immigration
overall.
They'd all say the same. But the problem
I think one party, I think it's Greens, they want to increase it, I think.
Well, yeah, because they need people in to pay for windmills.
But, but I know what you're saying.
But fundamentally, you know, they all want to reduce immigration. No one knows how to do it. So right. Keir Starmer's going to go and find the gangs and kill them, apparently. You know, obviously Conservatives want to put them on a plane to Rwanda and put them off to Rwanda. You know, Farage wants to stop them coming in altogether.
Yeah.
You know, so all the parties are aligned with the immigration needs to reduce. Mm. But we're back to the same old story.
How?
No one knows how.
Yeah. Mm. And I will, just to be clear as well, I also agree that it's not just immigration or immigrants that are draining the society. I also think it's other people that, you know, British that aren't working.
Absolutely.
That are not prepared to work.
Yeah.
Or, and, you know, because, that, like you said, the benefits system and the way it's designed, it's too easy for them to not get a job and just, you know, not bother because they get certain benefits and there's no repercussion to it. But to get
well,
them...
Well, I think just to be clear, I think the case of... It's not a case of that people on benefits are well off. It's a case of what I think what Mark was getting at is the difference isn't enough between benefits and
that's
working.
That's what I meant. Yeah, sorry, that's what I mean.
Let's be honest. If we were in the same boat, we'd go, well, I'm going to do 40 hours a week to turn an extra £10 this week.
Yeah.
Where's your incentive?
You wouldn't do it, would you?
Yeah. In fact, if anything, you'd be doing that and you'd be... That would demoralise you going, well, hang on. But why am I doing 40 hours a week and earning £10 extra?
Well, listen, I need to go back on one thing because you've still not answered my question.
Okay.
Oh. We talked about the old way of voting. You've not still told me about this the other way of voting.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Oh, okay. So you mean the current way of voting?
Yes.
And then what they're wanting to change it to?
Yes.
Okay.
Only because I feel like I've said it and
we need to talk about that. Yeah.
Okay. So currently we have a system. So you understand the system now that we've said.
Yes. First past the post.
And that's called first past the post.
Right. Okay.
More than 50% win, they're the government.
Right.
Okay. The big one that there's all different sorts of different voting things that they want to put in place. I know there were a vote on one a few years ago. That's the one I said
there was one a few years ago, but I don't know what it was.
So that was AV.
Right.
That was AV. That was about you changing the... At the minute, you walk into a voting booth and you put a cross next to one person.
Right.
And that's who you're voting for.
Right.
Is it AV? Is it alternative voting?
Alternative voting,
And you basically rank them. So you put number one next to who
you... A bit like X Factor.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, a bit like voting for who you rank them. Yeah. So one for who you want, two for second, three for third.
Right.
And basically, if one's not in contention, then it takes your second vote. And if that goes out of contention, it takes your third vote sort of thing.
Right.
That got voted on.
Yeah.
And...
I went and I wanted to change it. I voted and wanted to change it.
You're only old enough.
Yeah. but there wasn't a very good turnout with it.
No, it was low. Because I don't think it was advertised much.
It wasn't.
I'm guessing you weren't aware of it, Rob?
I was aware of it, but I don't think I voted because I didn't know enough information about it.
Yeah. And what about you, Mark? Were you aware of it?
I didn't even know it happened.
Oh, no. Kurt, you were aware of it.
Yeah, I was aware for it. Yeah, I voted against it, but yeah.
Yeah, and I voted for it. Okay.
So that's a new way. But what they're trying to push through now, and this is obviously maybe more Labour and Reform. They want to change it to something called proportional representation.
Right.
Okay. Which basically means that it's worked out on how many percentage of the vote that you get is representative to the percentage of seats in the House of Commons.
Right. Okay.
All right. So if 40% of the country vote Labour and 30% vote Conservative, and 20% was to vote Reform, then that's how the House of Commons would be split up.
Right, okay.
40, 30, 20.
Right.
You know, whereas at the minute, one area is one seat, no matter how many people are in that area.
Yeah, so if that area is massive, they're only going to get one seat. And then a little tiny area will
it's still just getting one seat.
Right.
So even though you might have got 5 million votes there and 1 million votes there,
the
outcome is the same.
Which does seem a lot more fair.
If you like. So
it would be much, much fairer. This current system, I don't think, is fair at all.
No.
It really is unbalanced.
The only issue I have with it, and why I voted against AV, and I don't know how I'd swing on proportional representation. I've got to be honest, I don't know. But the only thing at the minute, we have an issue with a two-party politics.
Yeah.
Okay. How it's kind of done when the experts have run their numbers and stuff like that, the areas that seem to have the most area, most population, tend to be very Labour-led. They tend to be what they call the red wall.
Yeah.
You know, there's only one person that broke that, and Boris, and then that all went wrong.
Mm.
Okay. So they tend to be a lot of people, individual people, that vote Labour rather than anybody else.
Just because they're mums and dads.
Well, the mums and dads voted it, the granddads voted it. They're still blaming Margaret Thatcher for the collapse of the country,
right,
you know, 50 years later. So what they're saying is that if Labour put this through, then there's a chance that Conservatives would never get a majority ever again.
Right, okay.
Purely down to numbers of people.
Right.
Okay. And some people would say, well, fine, if that's how it is, then that's fair. And I can't argue that. I'm just saying that at the minute we've already got only a two-party system, and we're saying that's rubbish.
Yeah.
Imagine how rubbish if it were just one. But no matter what you did.
I think it puts that party in a more prime position for criticism, though. I mean, Starmer's got one chance. He's got one chance, hasn't he? Because the whole country is in a position at the minute where they're like, I'm not going to vote. Labour's going to get in. Or do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People are disgruntled with the Tories and what they've done. I think, you know, it's Starmer's to lose. And he can only do that himself when he's in power, which he will end up being. You know, he said very little about what he is going to do, and I think it is I won't say a poison chalice, but...
Time at the bar, please!
Well, I can honestly say that tonight's been very educational for me.
Well, I've learnt a lot. I genuinely think, Rob, as you've been sat there, I genuinely think that you've been quite interested about what we've been talking about. Yeah. Listeners, you've almost seen little pennies dropping.
Yeah.
Before we go,
you're like an MP.
Yeah. Before we go, one big question I've got for you all. Mark,
yes.
Who do you think is going to win the election and who do you think is going to be the opposition?
Well, this is an easy question to answer, surely.
Go on.
I mean, Labour's going to win.
Yeah.
And the opposition.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be Tories, really.
You think Tories?
Well, they're going to get wiped out by a lot.
Yeah.
But they're still going to be the opposition. Talking about opposition, what won't know this, but obviously they'll change in the House of Parliament. They'll change seats, by the way. So the Tories will move over to that side and they'll move. Because they don't stay on their sides, by the way.
Yeah, the sides are different. So that on one side of the chamber is the government, on the other side of the chamber is the opposition.
Oh, right,
so
okay.
You'll probably see them swap. You go, well, why have they swapped? Well, that'll be why. Yeah. But that's my answer, Kirk. I think
where governments go, you even get individuals swapping.
Yeah, you do.
Partway through the year.
Crossing the floor.
But I would like to see some reform MPs in as well.
Okay.
To mix it up a bit.
Mark?
Labour are going to win.
Yeah.
In terms of opposition, I just want somebody to hold Starmer to account.
Yeah.
So, you know...
But who do you think? Not who do you want, who do you think?
Who do I think?
Yeah.
I think it's likely that it'll be Tories.
Yeah.
Okay. Not many of them, but...
Yeah, okay. Rob?
It'll be Labour, Tories, with a little bit of reform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're all...
You, Kirk?
I agree. I actually would like to see somebody different in opposition. It would be interesting to see someone like Reform, like almost because I want to say, put your money where your mouth is a little bit.
Yeah,
I want
to
see how they step up, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, we just talking, just to throw into things, obviously, I think Tories will lose, so Sunak will resign.
Yes.
So, just quickly,
he's already had a bet on that.
Because I think he'll bug off to America. He'll go off to America and do his stuff.
Your question is?
So, who will be the Conservative leader? Do you think it'd be...
Penny Mordaunt.
Yeah.
Jeremy Hunt.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Jeremy Hunt.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because I think
it'll
be a placeholder for 4 years.
Right. So I think it will be.
So I think it'll be somebody that is quite well liked in the House of Commons, which is Jeremy Hunt. Someone that already has got a name for himself. Someone that's done very big jobs in Parliament. It's an easy move over from Chancellor
to move his suitcase next door, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's only a stopover.
And I think it's a placeholder. Do I think that then he will take Tories into the next election? No. And I do think you've got the likelihoods of someone more like Penny Mordaunt, or even they might bring Boris back. Who knows if they need the votes.
That could happen.
It could happen. It absolutely could happen. But yeah, I think it'll be Jeremy Hunt.
Brilliant. And on that note...
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I've absolutely loved tonight. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into our special. Hope you've enjoyed it. I think it'll be the first of a few. Don't forget...
If it goes down well.
Get voted.
Yeah. Don't forget, go out on Thursday, make your vote, and then tune into our next episode on Friday. Don't forget, this is the Monday one.
Absolutely.
Don't forget
Friday. We've got an extra on this week. See you next week, boys.
Thanks a lot, guys.
See you later. Hang on. Don't press stop yet. It's me, Mark. Not Rob. I've got to tell you guys, we want you to do us a big favour. We want you to cast a vote for us for the British Podcast Awards and the Listener Choice Awards. You can find all the details on our socials and all the links are there. We'd really really appreciate if you could just take 2 minutes to do it for us, because we'd really appreciate it. So just do that for us and for the rest of the lads. Thanks.